guys, I'm going through this psychosis. Oh God, I just don't see how. I don't see how you can use somebody like me. I just don't see how. And so the Lord said, I told you the word. He took me to the word, right? And he took me to the scripture where God calls the donkey to speak. And he gave me a revelation. Because see, the version I was using, it didn't say donkey. It called, his first name was Jack. And so God said to me, he said, I used Jack then, I can use Jack now. You have to understand, though, that's not how we want to be used. We want to be clean vessels. We want to be, we know we're hoping for and striving for and trying to get to perfection. But we also know that we're already perfected in Christ. Are you hearing me? And so I am becoming what I already am. Does that make sense? I'm becoming what I already am. So the word in me keeps me from getting stuck on stuff I shouldn't be stuck on. It protects me from error. Watch, I think I got another scripture here. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the writer here says, let the word richly dwell in you. So here's the point. That term richly dwell in you implies that I ought to be full of the word, so that the word becomes my knee-jerk reaction to everything. See, what's in you comes out of you the moment it gets tested. The moment you get tested. So if the first thing that comes out of you is golf. See, Miggy get that, because I told him yesterday, I said, you know why they call it golf, don't you? He said, why? I said, because all the other four-letter words are already taken. So if the first thing that comes out of you is one of them select words, the language of the Chaldeans, the heathen tongues, huh? you know they say if you throw a rock at a pack of dogs, the one that hollers, the one that got hit. For those of you tuning in on stream, we are literally having a good time here, because I'm standing up here trying to teach, and I'm trying to make this point, and somebody looked at me and said, are you looking at me right now? Woo! Praise Jesus. I done forgot what I was talking about. So if the first thing that comes out when you get tested, the first thing that comes out when you get blindsided, the first thing that comes out when you get caught off guard, have you ever had somebody catch you off guard? I just wasn't expecting that from them. You know what I mean? Tell you about being caught off guard. Little boy, he's now a young man, but when he was about 5-6 years old, he was walking with my son, and his name is Tyus, and Tyus was walking with my son, and my son comes into church. I mean, he's laughing so hard he can't hardly control himself. I said, what's wrong? He said, I was walking with Tyus coming into church. I got Tyus by his hand. He said, and this lady cut us off and went in the door before us, and the door slammed in Tyus' face. And little Tyus, 6 years old, Tyus said, ain't that about to be? And my son said, Tyus. He said, well, it is. Now, here's the thing. We were very close with the family. You know, we were very close with the family. Tyus spent as much time with me and Charmaine as he spent with his own mama, okay? And so when this happened, we went to his mother and told her what happened, and she started getting angry. Tyus, I said, hold on before you whoop his behind. I said, how did he get that? I said, because he ain't even in school yet. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes we get caught off guard. But if the word is dwelling in us richly, then our response is a word response. You know, that's why when pandemonium broke out in this country, and even, I tell people all the time, being surprised when sinners sin is like being surprised when dogs bark. Dogs bark because they're dogs. You have dogs. Dogs bark because they're dogs. Okay? Sinners sin because they're sinners. So you should never be surprised at sinners doing what they do. But I was surprised at the response of the church. How some preachers involve themselves in some of the same language and some of the same stuff. And what it told me was that the word of God was not abiding richly in us. We're professing to be preachers. We're professing to be Christians. We're professing to love Jesus. But when something bad happens, our first response was not a word response. It was a world response. Are you hearing me? So when the word dwells richly in you, you'll have a word response. No matter what you're going through. I'm going to tell you, most of the time when you panic, you're panicking because you don't have a word response. And here's the thing. Sometimes we're so self-sufficient, we won't even sit down and start searching the word for an answer. God, I need an answer for this. Point number two. Jesus ties discipleship to abiding in his word. Jesus ties your discipleship to abiding in his word. In other words, my buddy Miggy, he said the other day, I said some things that challenged him in a conversation we were having. I said some things that challenged him a little bit theologically and in his personal life. And he said, I liked it better when I was just a everyday Christian. He said, this whole being a disciple stuff. He said, ordinary Christians ain't got to put up with this stuff. Look at the scripture. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed. So he's talking to believers, right? Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If is what? Huh? If is a hinge. Everything hinges on what comes after. If you continue in my word, then and only then are you my disciples. So disciples of Jesus Christ are supposed to have the word as their compass. They're supposed to have the word as their GPS. They're supposed to have the word as their navigator. And it amazes me the calisthenics that we'll do to try to make God's word say what we wanted to say. It's as if we've given up on ever trying to become the living expression of his word. And so since I know I can never become the living expression of his word, I'll just make it say what I wanted to say. Because I can live the word I wrote. But Jesus said, hey, remember in another place, he said, here's how men are going to know you're my disciples, right? He said, here's how many of you know you're my disciples, that you what? Love one another. He said that in another place, right? But here, he's saying, here's how I'm going to know you're my disciples. That my word is in you. That you continue in my word. Are you hearing me? Got another scripture, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Here's what it says. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Now, he said, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. How do I get firm roots? My mother used to like houseplants. She didn't really like flowers, but she liked houseplants. But for some reason, she couldn't get a houseplant to grow to save her life. You know, you give my mother a plant, might be the last time you see it healthy. So my mother said, baby, I can't get these plants to do right. I said, well, you want me to do it for you? She said, yeah. She said, can you take care of them and make sure they look good? And so her favorite plant was this plant. I think it was called a Creeping Charlie because it would come up. She had her plants hanging. All her plants were hanging. And so it would come up out of the plant bowl, and then it would start coming down and swirl. And so she just loved that. She loved that whole thing. And so, you know, I'm the kind of person, my grandfather was a farmer, so you got to study the plant, know what the plant needs. So I'm doing all this stuff. Before you know it, that thing started blooming. Because, well, here's what I did. I focused on getting the root healthy. Mm-hmm. See, don't get me wrong. You have to take care of the leaves. So, you know, once a week I'd go in there and I'd dust the leaves and spray them with a little something to make sure. But if all I did was take care of the leaves, the roots would be unhealthy and the plant would die. Are you hearing me? What I'm trying to get you to see is that what we're doing in the church is we're taking care of the leaves. We have all the stuff. We have all, we lights, camera, church. We have great preachers. Dr. So-and-so said, and so-and-so said, have you read so-and-so's book? That book will change your life. No, I've already read the book that's changing my life. I'm still reading the book that's changing my life. And that book builds great roots so that I can be healthy and I can be who God designed me to be. But I've got to understand how the word nourishes the roots of my faith. So that my faith is sure. My faith is based on something absolute. God's word is absolute. The Bible says this. He watches over his word to perform it. God is actually looking out to see what his word is doing. So if the word is so sure that God himself is standing there going, I sent a word of healing to her. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. God's standing there going, I know I sent a word of healing to her. What's going on over here? See, here's what God knows. I said it. It has to happen. It doesn't matter whether it existed before he said it. It doesn't matter whether it exists when he says it. The fact that he said it is all the proof we need that it exists. We just can't see it yet. Mm-hmm. But see, when you don't have the kind of word in you, when the word isn't in you so that you know when God speaks, that's why I keep telling folks are telling me, yeah, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful about this. I can't die, y'all. I got too much stuff that God told me that hasn't happened yet, and he can't lie. So if he can't lie, I can't die. There's too much stuff to be done. And here's what I find interesting. Believers have a problem with this kind of faith. Jesus is my big brother. Jesus is my big brother. I'm so grateful for my relationship with Jesus. But do you really have a relationship with him? All right. I gotta move. Here's another point. I think this one's pretty good. How you receive the word determines its effectiveness in your life. How you receive the word determines its effectiveness in your life. That you know, if God says something, and okay, here's a great example. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This ain't in my notes, but it'll work. All right, so the Bible says in Genesis, the Bible says that Abraham was resting under the oaks at Mamre, and then it says, and then appeared unto him three men. And so the story says that Abraham realizes these three men, he realizes they're there, and he goes and gets the best of everything he has. He gets the best milk, the best flour. He makes dinner for them. He serves them. And then these three men, he's actually having a visitation of the Godhead. And so these three men say to him, he said, I'll return again in a year and you'll have a son. Now, Abraham at this time is 80 something years old. And Sarah hears it. And the Bible says she laughed. She scoffed. That's what it really means. She scoffed. Yeah, right. I'm almost 80 years old. You're talking about having a baby. I couldn't have a baby when I was 30 years old. See, here's the difference. Her scoff didn't override Abraham's faith. See, she received the word differently than Abraham did. That's why God was talking to Abraham and not her. Because, see, the way she received it, it probably would have never happened. Mm-hmm. See, how you receive the word determines how that word, how effective that word is going to be in your life. If you don't receive the word so that the word prompts you to do something, then guess what? It's probably not going to have any effect in your life. Look at the scripture, Mark 4:16-17. It says, In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no, watch this, they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the what? Because of the word, immediately they fall away. So here's the thing. It said these are those, they're like stony ground. They receive the word. Oh, didn't he preach today? Oh, my Lord. He preached something. Oh, I don't know if I ever heard anybody preach like that. They received it with joy. They received it with joy. But guess what? It couldn't take root. Couldn't take root. And what you have to understand, this is why I tell y'all got to stop listening to everybody and stop reading everybody's books. Because guess what? You read something that you're not ready for, but now that you've heard the word, that word must be tried. So if you're not ready for that word, you're definitely not ready for the trial that comes with that word. Isn't that what he just said? He said, then when affliction or persecution arises because of the, it says, immediately they fall away. Immediately. Oh. Because you received it. You received it with glad. Oh, whew. Going through all these calisthenics trying to let people know how holy you are, how much you love the word. But guess what? You have no depth. You know, the whiners had a song years ago when it said, break up that fallow ground. Break up that fallow ground. And it was talking about how you have to let God. See, I told you my grandfather was a farmer. And so when it came planting time, we would have to get out the tiller, and we'd have to till the ground. You go through all that hard dirt, and you start turning it, breaking it up. And then sometimes that dirt, it would break up. It'd be so hard, it'd be in large clumps. Then we'd have to go out and break those up, you know, because you got to get the ground ready to receive seed. Mm-hmm. The same is true with your heart. Same is true with your heart. Your heart has to be ready to receive the seed of God's word. Mm-hmm. And when your heart is not ready, when your heart is still hard, the seed hits. here's how you know. Rock and I were talking as we were setting up last night, and Rock said, I said, man, how you doing? He said, oh, man, he said, I just finished reading the book of Hebrews again. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, how was it? He said, man, I find it amazing. He said, every time I read it, I see something I didn't see the last time. See, so all of those of y'all, I done read the Bible already. Okay. Because I guarantee you, because you're not where you were when you read it last time, you're going to see something you need right now. Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs this work in you who believe. How you receive determines the effectiveness. Do you receive, are you just, our pastor, he's such a wonderful preacher. Our pastor is such a wonderful preacher. He's so encouraging. He encourages us in Jesus. He really does. And I'm so glad that I go to a church where a pastor is encouraging and he gives me encouraging words to help me through my week. Thank you. The Christian 12-step program. Or have you made up in your mind before you walk through this door, I am going to put a demand on the Holy Spirit. I'm about to hear the word of the living God. It's living word coming from a living God. I don't know why God chooses to use fallible men to preach his living word. But that word is life, not because of the gift of the man. That word is life because of the gift of God. And so I can remember when I was younger, I was like a sponge, man. You name a year of my life, I could tell you who my favorite preacher was. I'm telling you. I could tell you. I can remember when, Bishop Huey Rogers out of Brooklyn, New York, Bishop Huey Rogers preached a message one time called The Eulogy of the Great Late Planet Earth. That's what he preached. My former pastor, Bishop R.W. McMurray, preached a message called Let That Heifer Alone. Uh-huh. Yes, he did. Yeah. He preached another message called A Wild Ass on the Loose in the City. What a pity. Yes, he did. I'm telling you, these were some great messages that shaped, you know, how I heard. And I still remember those messages. I still remember how these messages came. Because I wasn't just hearing from a preacher. I was hearing the word of God. My former pastor in Ohio, he used to, when I first started attending the church there, I'm not much of a note taker. If I start writing, my mind goes somewhere else, and then I can't hear what's going on. So I've become a very intent listener. And so he would get upset because he was a teacher, and everybody's taking notes, and I'm just sitting there listening. And so then we would get in the back, and all the note takers would be back there, and he'd say, what's your favorite part of the message? Well, hold on, let me look at my notes. And he'd say, Spencer, what's your favorite part of the message? Point number two was this. You use this scripture. This is how God spoke to me from that point, because I was listening to the word of God. I wasn't just listening to a man. Are you hearing me? Got another scripture for you. Acts 17:11. Wait a minute. I didn't point something out. I wanted to point out to you on that last. He says, on that last scripture, he says, you received the word that you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is. Do you know what the word really is? Do you know what it really is? Somebody say it's the word of God. Acts 17:11. Here it is. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. One translation said, examining the scriptures daily to see if what Paul told them was true. And the Berean spirit is the spirit that says, I've heard the word, now let me examine the word. But just trust me, I've had pastors say things, and I, you know, especially after I had gotten a little mature and I read my Bible a few times, and I would go to the pastor and say, hey, pastor, you said this about this text. I said, but that's not what that text says. And one of my pastors said to me, he said, are you sure? I said, yeah, let's look at it. And so I got it, and I pulled it out. I said, see right here, it says that. He said, you know what? You're right. I messed that one. See, it's one thing for a preacher to make a mistake. Every preacher can make a mistake. You know, here's a mistake. And Abraham built the ark. That's a mistake. You know, because everybody knows Abraham didn't build an ark, right? But if you hear somebody say Abraham built an ark, usually they just mistaken. That's too big of a mistake for you not to realize it's a mistake. Okay? But it's another thing for you to take the word of God and take it out of context so that it's not doing what it's designed to do. Because then you mislead people. Mm-hmm. This is why we stick to the word so closely. Because the word preaches for itself. Y'all do know that the Bible that I'm talking to you about actually calls what I do foolishness. It does. It says God uses the foolishness of preaching. So all these preachers who make you think they so great, foolishness. Mm-hmm. Last point. Doers of the word are blessed. Doers of the word are blessed. Who wants to be blessed? Who wants to do what the word says? Who wants to be blessed? Who wants to do what the word says? But see, to be blessed, you have to be a doer of the word. I was talking to some people with everything that's going on in our culture right now. You know, because people know what I do throughout my life in ministry. And so I've gotten a lot of calls this week, I mean, from all over the country. And people are saying, you know, hey, you know, what do you think is the proper response for the church right now? And a couple of people wanted me to, how about we have a podcast where we talk about the issue of racial reconciliation? And y'all, something rose up in me. Didn't I tell y'all Tuesday that y'all was going to have to cover me because something was going to, something rose up in me, and I said, I'm sorry, man. I said, I don't want to have another conversation about racial reconciliation. I just don't. Because here's the cycle that we get into. There's a big event. Everybody sees it and goes, oh, that's wrong. Then there's an even bigger, crazy response. And some people are going, that's wrong. Other people are going, what did you expect? You see what I'm saying? Seriously. So now the people who are saying that's wrong are fighting with the people who are saying, what did you expect? Right? Then the talking heads go, maybe what we need to do is just sit down and have a talk about race. And the church does the same thing. Brother, can I invite you to come and have a talk with me about race? And I told him, I said, listen to me. I said, let me explain something to you. I said, if you don't want to live racial reconciliation, I don't want to talk about racial reconciliation. I said, see, I don't need a conversation about racial reconciliation. I live racial reconciliation. every day. Every day. I go out trying to find people who don't think like me, who don't like the stuff I like, who are different than me. Maybe this is why the church doesn't win souls, because we're looking for folks that's already saved. No, I'm being honest with you. And so if you're living this thing, then I don't have to have a conversation about something I'm already living. Miguel, I want to have a conversation with you about loving your wife. You're going to look at me and say, fool, I'm already loving my wife. I'm loving her even when she don't think I'm loving her. Doers of the word. Doers of the word. This is not a word we just listen to and read and then we go and okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Watch this. James 1, verses 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 35. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now let's stop right there. I think there are a whole lot of folks in the church who are under a spirit of delusion. They are self-deceived. They think they're holy. They think they're righteous. Here's another one. They think they're saved. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So James makes it clear that this whole idea that I can look at the word and then go out here and act like I ain't never read the word. James said, this is crazy. This is delusional. This is delusional. He said, but the one who is not just a hearer of the word, but they're a doer and they're an effectual doer. They're trying at everything they can to live out the word of God. That's why you hear me pray all the time. Lord, let this word take root deep in their hearts and let it begin to flourish so that it destroys everything in their life that's not like you, so that they can be examples to the world of who you are. Because I expect the word to do that, because that's what it does in my life. That's how I believe the word, that the word should be changing me daily. Somebody say amen. I think this is my last scripture. Luke 8, verses 20 and 21. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. They're talking to Jesus. Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. Listen to what Jesus said. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Now, how many times have y'all heard me say there is a false teaching in the world that everybody's a child of God? How many of y'all heard me say that? But Jesus just said, the people that are part of my family hear my word and do it. So he's telling you how you qualify for the family. He's telling you how you become a part of the household of faith, that you must be doers of the word. For too long, we have allowed. I'm gonna make up a word. I'm gonna make up a word. So pray for me. We've allowed churchtainment. We've allowed churchtainment to keep us from really embodying what the word says and who the word says we're supposed to embody. And so, you know, I get people, I'm telling y'all, listen, I get people all the time, not sometime. At one point in my life, I know people were asking me at least two or three times a week, so what's the latest book you read, man? What's the latest book? What's the latest book you read, man? I said, I'm reading Romans right now. Have you read so-and-so's book on grace? Have you read so-and-so's book on grace? Man, it changed my life. You should read so-and-so's book on grace. I read what Paul wrote about grace. It changed my life. See, we want to read books about the Bible. We just don't want to read the Bible. Which means that we have a very Old Testament relationship with the Father because we need an intermediary, a human intermediary between us and the Word. And Jesus came to destroy the need for an intermediary. Are you hearing me? So therefore, I don't have to read somebody's book. Well, you know, brother, I understand what you're saying, but sometimes the Bible is just a little hard to understand. That's because you're reading it without the help of the author. You're reading it without the help of the author. See, if you go to it and say to the author, who's ever listened to a book on tape? Sometimes I like when the author themselves, actually, especially authors that have a great voice, and it takes on a whole different thing when the author is reading the book with you. You know, you're sitting there listening, and the author's taking you through because they know where to put the inflections. They know what they were trying to conceive at certain points. They know what they want you to feel at certain points. I'm going somewhere with this. So when I come to the Word of God, first thing I have to do before I get into the Word of God is I have to say to the author, will you please help me read this? I said, if you'll just help me read this, let your word speak to me straight from you. I want to hear only from you. See, what we do is we bring all of our preconceived notions to the word, and we bring all of our predetermined stuff to the word, and then I don't know why the word doesn't work, why I don't understand it. That's because you bring in your stuff to it. Guess what? You didn't write it. Come to the author and say to the Holy Spirit, hey, I'm going to read your word. If you'll help me read this, I would really appreciate it. I'm telling you, I can't tell y'all how many times I've sat down and stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning getting ready to preach to y'all. I got all these scriptures in my notes. And then I get up here and start preaching, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts showing me stuff in the text I didn't even see when I chose the scripture. There's been time the Holy Spirit said to me, use this scripture. And I've said to him, that scripture makes no sense. That don't go with what I'm trying to say. Which he responds, fool, just do what I said. And so I put the scripture in there. And then I get up here and I'm going through my points. And I'm worried because this scripture makes no sense to me. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with what I'm talking about. But then I get to the point, and when I get to the scripture, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is like fireworks going off. Poof, poof, poof. And I'm like, whoa, you really can make your word come to life. This is amazing. It's like a miracle that I'm experiencing right now in this present moment. The miracle of the word. Wow. Whoa. Holy but Jimmy's Batman. See, sometimes I just don't understand stuff. And that's why I got to come to y'all, because y'all help me understand. Y'all help me understand. Here's what I understand. You say you love Jesus, but you don't love his word. You say, here's the one that really gets me, because you hear this a lot in our society right now. You say you love Jesus, but you don't love his bride. You know, I love Miggy, but Mickey, y'all got to pray for me with Mickey. I ain't. Guess what? Hey, even if it's working for me, it ain't going to work for him. Trust me when I tell you, I know that brother. He will go south. I had to remind him one day. Hey, dude, remember you saved. Remember you saved now. I just don't like the way he said this about my wife. I said, I know you got to get him straight, but you know, put a choker on. So now, if a natural man responds this way when you say, I'm cool with him, but I just ain't feeling his wife. How do you think Jesus feels when you say, I love you, I just don't want nothing to do with your wife? You cannot separate Jesus from his word. You cannot separate Jesus from his wife. Are you hearing me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We certainly thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these who have the talent and the ability to help us with our technical difficulties. I'm grateful for them, and I'm glad they were able to get that done. Hopefully those who are listening at home were able to listen and get the full message without being too distracted. Now, Lord, we pray for the hearers of the word. We pray, Lord, that the word would be in their hearts as a seed, that it would go deep into their heart, that seed would begin to germinate and begin to take root, and that it begin to produce fruit, that it would produce life, and that, Lord, as that word begins to grow in their heart, it would destroy everything in us that's not like you until we become the express image of your son, Jesus. We give you praise for your word. We are so grateful for your word. Your word that comes to reprove us, your word that comes to buffet us, your word that comes to perfect us. We are grateful for your word. And we say, have your way, Lord Jesus. While your heads are still bowed, while your eyes are closed,